All right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And we're going to look at one verse today. You got to be scared when I only have one verse as my text. It usually means it's going to be very short or it's going to be very long. Psalm 42, verse 11, the last verse. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Glory to God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. I've entitled this message, How to Encourage Yourself in the Lord. And of course, that statement comes from the story of David. We sang the song about it when David went to Ziklag. He and his mighty men went out on a campaign. And while they were gone, the enemy came and took all of the women and children, kidnapped them. And when they got back, they found what happened. And that wasn't even all of the story, for David was not only discouraged because of that, but his mighty men that were with him on this military campaign turned on him and blamed him. We hadn't went with you, this would never have happened. Now, I can handle a lot of things from the devil, but I tell you what really discourages me is when people I think love me turn on me. Can I get an amen? That's when I get really discouraged. And the Bible says that David was really discouraged, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. And so this morning the question is, how do I encourage myself in the Lord? And we're going to be looking at Psalm 42:11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help and the countenance of my God. Now, why are you cast down, O my soul? Here, the psalmist David is asking a question to himself. But not just to himself, to his soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have emotions? Nobody would ever get offended at the church and leave. But then you say, well, but that wouldn't be fun. We couldn't cry when we feel the presence of the Lord. So God gave us emotions, didn't he? And yet, sometimes they can be our worst enemy. And so here the psalmist is asking a question of his mind, his will, and his emotions. Why are you cast down? Now, if you go into a bookstore and you say, where is the books on my soul? They might look at you really funny. But if you say, where is the self-help section? You'll find a big old giant section of books all dedicated to people who are having emotional problems. There will be books on codependency. There will be books on overeating, there will be books on all kinds of things to help you fix yourself. And I know these books mean well, and I'm sure some of them do help people. But when I am discouraged, the greatest ally is not a book from the self-help section. My greatest ally is the Lord. Amen? And so I have to understand that because God made emotions, he knows how to help me fix my emotional problems. So here the psalmist asks the question to his mind, his will, and emotions. He's talking to his emotions, and he's asking, why are you cast down? Now, a cast down emotion, whatever you want to call that, depression, discouragement, we understand what that feels like. We've all been there. But sometimes to understand what it looks like, we might say, oh, I'm not depressed. And a clinical psychologist may say, you're depressed. And so to understand what that looks like, sometimes it's best to understand what the opposite of it is. So what's the opposite of a cast-down soul would be an upbeat attitude. Hey, yeah, you know, one of those real happy guys always going around snapping their fingers, singing a little song. And isn't that sometimes contagious? Have you ever hung around someone who's always happy? Sometimes it's annoying, too. But it is sometimes contagious. You know, back when I had kids at home, and I know you've heard me say this more than once, but when my kids were home, because teenagers certainly have attitudes, that I would often say, well, this is the happiest day of my life. And you know, their sour attitudes, they couldn't help but smile, maybe while they were rolling their eyes, but, you know, Dad. But you know what? We need that, don't we? We need, in fact, the Bible says, encourage one another. And so we are to pray with people. We're to mourn when you mourn. We're to rejoice when you rejoice with each other. We're to encourage people in the Lord. But I can't encourage someone else if I'm not encouraged, so I need to know how to encourage myself in the Lord. And so a cast down soul is a discouraged soul. Why cast down? Why are you cast down? Have you ever asked yourself, why am I feeling this way? What's changed? Well, if I'm asking you a question, I say, why are you feeling bad? Well, I don't know. Well, no, really. Well, you know, and if I keep prodding, you might start answering a few questions, right? When I counsel people, you know, and they're going through something, I'll ask them, you know, well, tell me what's going on. You know, and they have to articulate to me because I don't know. Well, sometimes if I don't take time to articulate to myself, I don't even know why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. So one of the things that we do is we, you know, and here the psalmist is asking his soul, why are you cast down? We write down. Well, I'm having relationship issues. Well, I'm worried about my children. They're not saved. Well, you know, I gave in to a temptation, you know, or maybe I'm physically ill, or I'm weak, or you know, I'm having financial problems, or I have a really poor self-esteem. I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm stupid, I can't do anything right, you know. All of those things, you know. And so if we write them down, we write down all these things, then we're doing what David tells us to do, asking our soul what's wrong. Why are you cast down? Okay, I've got my list now. I'm feeling discouraged. I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling cast down. I've got a list of 11, 12 things here. Okay, so how does this help me encourage myself in the Lord? Well, the second thing he says, why are you cast down? So why are you disquieted within me? Okay, what does that mean? What does disquieted mean? Disquieted, the opposite of quiet, right? Quiet is peaceful. Why don't I have any peace? Why am I in turmoil? Why is my stomach rumbling? Why am I feeling like this, having this alarmed feeling inside? Why am I feeling that way? Why am I feeling alarmed, fearful, uncertain? Why do I have doubt and unbelief? Why am I not trusting God? Jesus was sleeping on the boat in Mark 4. You know the story, this huge storm came. A storm so big it scared experienced fishermen. So Chuck Misler points out, if it has scared experienced fishermen, it was a demonic storm. It was a demonic attack. See, they were on their way to the other side where there was a man with a legion of demons that Jesus was going to deliver. The devil knew what was going on. Nobody else did. Jesus and the devil's the only two that knew. I'm going over there because there's a man that needs delivered, and the devil's trying to stop him. So this is a double demonic attack, the demonic person and the demonic storm. And sometimes in our life, we don't just have natural storms. Oh, you know, I need a new muffler. You know, we have demonic storms. And when those come, they're the giant waves. They're the thing after the thing after the thing after the thing, right? You see it hit, and you know, this is not a normal problem. This is one of those demonic waves. And so, in Mark 4, they fearfully ran to the boat where Jesus, the inside of the boat where Jesus was sleeping, the back of the boat, And he arose and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And then he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? No faith. Well, the Bible says God gives every man a measure of faith, but Jesus told his apostles, his disciples, you have no faith. How'd you like Jesus having to rebuke you and say, you have no faith? Ouch. You know, I think that it's not that we don't have any faith. I think there are certain times when storms of our life rob our faith. And at that particular time, at that minute, at that second in time, when we're operating out of fear, we're not operating out of faith. At that time, we have no faith. And so, why do I have no faith? Why is the storms of life shaking me? Why am I disquieted within me? And then comes the answer. Aren't you glad God doesn't just give us the questions, he gives us the answer. The answer is hope in God. Three little words, so profound, so powerful, so eternal, so relevant, so necessary, so vital to my survival. Hope in God. Hope in God. You ever know anybody that's depressed? They feel like they have no hope. And you say, hope in God. And for them, God has abandoned them. God has failed them. God didn't come when he should have come. God let their loved one die. God failed them, and they have no hope because they once maybe hoped in God, but now they feel like God was not there for them, and so they have no hope. The definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. A feeling or expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. In other words, hope means, well, you know, if this happened, then everything will be all right, right? But no hope, you don't have any expectation. I don't think anything's going to help. There's no hope whatsoever. Now, a lot of people put their hopes in various things. They put their hope in the lottery. Right? Have you ever stood in line at a convenience store because you just wanted a pack of gum or a bottle of pop, and somebody is in there, let's see, give me a number 7 and a number 12, and oh, I got a 3 to cash in, and they're buying all these lottery tickets. You know, and I'm not knocking them. If you want to do that, that's fine. But that's their hope. They live their life hoping that somehow this pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and it's going to solve all their life's problems. And you know, if you find anyone who wins the lottery, 9 times out of 10, those people are flat broke within a number of years. Because, and James says it, you know, consuming it upon your own lust. You go through it and it's gone. And so it turns out the lottery was not the answer to their problem. They had a problem. They numbed the pain with money for a while, and when the money's gone, the problem's still there. A lot of people numb their pain with things besides just drugs or alcohol. Some people have their hope and superstition. Oh, knock on wood. Don't say that without knocking on wood, you know, or something bad's going to happen. That's their hope. Some people put their hope in a person. They put all their expectation in their spouse. Or in their church. We talked about that earlier. And when the church fails them, then they have no hope. Or they put their hope in their job, or the list could go on and on. But the Bible doesn't say hope in your money, hope in your spouse, hope in your job, hope in the lottery. It says hope in God. Jesus told us about the wise man who built his house on the rock. He didn't say you will never have storms. He said, when the storms came, this man's house stood firm. You're going to have storms. You're going to have trials. You're going to have things that happen to you that is going to tempt you to not hope in God. But if you have built your house on the rock, if you have read this book and you live by it. See, sometimes I say, oh, my house is built on the rock because I go to church. Because I say I'm a Christian because I pray to Jesus. The wise man is he who hears the words and doeth them. I will liken him to a man who hears the words and do them. He's like a man who builds his house on the rock. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian anymore. And going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Right? Or going to Jimmy's Egg makes you an omelet. Making myself hungry this morning. We have to hope in God. We have to build our life on things eternal. Amen. Build our life on things eternal. I love that song. Hold to God's unchanging hand. So just as we write down our discouragements and our disquietness, if we're going to hope in God, we have to write down our expectations, right? Some people call that a prayer journal. You can call it a prayer journal. You can call it great expectations because I got a great God, right? Because I serve a great God, I have great expectations. I'm believing that by faith that this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And this is going to happen. When I counsel people who are going through some hard times or some discouraging times, or they're depressed or they're mad at God, I ask them to write down if there was, money was no object, if there was nothing hindering you, what would you want your life to look like? And I've had people, I'm going on a cruise, I have new property, I have 10 more acres for my horses, I've had all these different things. And you know what? That's okay. Because then they start expecting, see? And that builds hope. And then we understand that it's not about if I had money. It's about if God heard my heart. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that awesome? That we serve a God that just says, if you'll delight in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And God knows that you want those things. You need those things. Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you even pray. So the emphasis is hope in God. Get your expectations on a God who is greater than anything that you can imagine and more, above and beyond what we could ask, hope, or think. That's the God we serve. Amen? And so all of a sudden now, instead of feeling depressed, discouraged, cast down, when I begin to understand what it means to hope in God, when I begin to raise my expectations because I serve a glorious, great, and mighty God, I'm not talking about to consume it on my own flesh. I'm talking about to meet my needs, to give me that joy. And it doesn't have to even be materialistic. I just want to be happy. Okay, delight yourself in the Lord. Hope in God. Hallelujah. Hope in God. Jeremiah said, 17:7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he's like a tree planted by the waters that spread out her roots by the river and shall not see when he comes. But her leaves will be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Do you know what that says? When other people fall, I don't fall. When other people stumble, I don't stumble. I'm like a tree that's planted by a river. All these other trees are withering up and drying up because there's a drought going on, but I'm still bearing fruit and I'm green. I'm that tree. And he said, that's the person who is hoping in the Lord. That's what it looks like. 1 Peter 1:3, many of us can quote this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. If I were to paraphrase that, praise God, I'm born again and I have a hope because Jesus rose, I'm going up with him. Amen. Begotten us again. That means born again. Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again and all because of Calvary. Aren't you glad we're born again? And because we're born again, because Jesus has risen from the dead, we have hope. Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him. I'm going up on the first boat. Glory to God. That's something to be praising God about. My life verse is 1 John 5:4. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. See, when I have faith in God, I can stand against the population of the world. How many billion people are in the world? 7 billion people coming at me with sharp knives. Stand there. That doesn't mean they can't kill me. But you know what they can't take away? My hope in God. That's right. You can't extinguish hope in God. You can throw 3 Hebrew children in a fiery furnace and they won't give up their hope in God. You can throw Daniel in a lion's den. He won't give up his hope in God. You can be pressed against the whole Pharaoh army on one side and the Red Sea on the other side. Hope thou in God. Hallelujah. He's the God that parts the waters. He's the God that calms the sea. Hope thou in God. Yes. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. You know how many all things are? All of them. All things. All things. Well, I don't know if I believe that's possible. Guess what? It ain't to you. But to the believer it is. Because if I'm a believer, I can believe all things are possible. Can God do that? Sure he can. He's God on the platform. He's God out by the wall. He's God in the amen corner. He's God all over the floor. God is God. God don't ever change. Always will be God. He's God of the Hebrew children. He's God of the great I am. He's God way up in heaven. He's God down in my soul. God is God. God don't never change. Always will be God. That's the God I serve. That's the kind of God I serve. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. He's the God that raised Jesus from the dead and the God that's coming back. Glory to God. Joel 3:16. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. The Lord will be the hope of his people. You know what? It doesn't matter what happens. Oh, what about Jade Helm? What about the economy? What about this? What about that? Well, what about the Lord? He's the hope of his people. What about the Lord? He's the hope of his people. He said, I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. Well, what are you going to do if the economy fails? I shall yet praise him. Well, what are you going to do if you get cancer? I shall yet praise him. What are you going to do if the economy fails, you get cancer, you lose your job? I shall yet praise him. I shall yet. Come on, say it with me. I shall yet praise him. Glory to God. I shall praise him. Now, this is not about just praising him in the bad times. Yes, we need to do that. If you can't praise him in the valley, you aren't going to be able to praise him on the mountaintop. But I'm not. This verse here, I shall yet praise him, is not actually talking about that. It's talking about that expectation when he answers the prayers and you've got a testimony to praise him about. Because you see, he says, you know, why are you cast down? I said, why are you disquieting me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. He's looking down the road through the valley to the mountaintop and saying, there is coming a day and an hour where your test will bring a testimony and you will bring glory to God by saying, I trusted the Lord in my darkest hour and he didn't fail me. I shall yet praise him. Glory to God. It's the confident assurance that there's coming a day when I will praise God for changing my situation. You know what the greatest day that is? It's when death is swallowed up in victory. When all of us, all you guys and the other billions from every nation, every kindred, and every tongue are around the throne of God, and we're praising Him, and this is the ultimate that day, right? When we look back and we say, you know, I had some tears, I had some trials, I went through some valleys, I didn't do everything right, but by the grace of God, I am here, and there is no more tears, there is no more sorrow, there is no more pain, I shall yet praise Him. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right there. Hallelujah! So, how do I know He's going to change my situation? How do I know? You know, I'm talking like a foolish man. You know, I'm talking about one of those people that, you know, might say, well, you know, preacher, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's happened to me. How do I know, God? You say that, but you don't know what I've been through. How do I know God is going to change my situation? Yeah, amen. Well, here's what I say. Because I have a record of what He did yesterday. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. If He said it, He'll do it. If He spoke it, He'll bring it to pass. I saw Him by faith when I read the words. I saw Him standing in the fire with those three Hebrew children. I've got a record of what He did yesterday. I saw Him close the mouth of those lions for Daniel. I saw Him part the Red Sea where the people of God crossed over on dry land. I saw Him walk on water and grab Peter's fearful hand and raise him up. I saw Him stare down the Pharisees. I saw Him open blinded eyes. I saw Him raise Lazarus from the dead. I saw Him ascend from the Mount of Olives. And I heard the angels say, quit gawking in heaven, this same Jesus is coming again. How do I know what He's going to do tomorrow? I got a record of what He did yesterday. I shall yet praise Him. Glory to God. And then He says, who is the health of my countenance? The health of my countenance. That means the wellness of my attitude. Why are you always so happy, Brother Roger? He's the health of my countenance. He's the wellness of my attitude. When I keep my eyes on Him, I have that glow. I have that joy unspeakable. I have that peace that passes understanding. And so He's the wellness of my attitude. He's the health of my countenance. And He's the soundness of my mental state. You know, we started out talking about this mental state. Why are you cast down on my soul? Well, He is the health of my countenance. He is the soundness of my mental state. He is. Doesn't matter what I feel. I look to Him. Him. I'm anchored in Him. I'm connected to Him. He's the vine. I'm the branch. I'm connected to Him. What He is, I am. What He gives, I have. What He bestows, I impart. So He's the health of my countenance. And oh, by the way, and my God. And my God. And my God. The Bible says that when the Lord comes back, I think it's in Isaiah, we're going to say, this is the Lord. We have waited for Him. All the people who didn't have this hope, who refused this grace, we're going to introduce Him to Jesus. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. He's the health of my countenance and, say it with me, and my God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Come on, Nola. Glory, glory, glory. He's the health of my countenance. He's the wellness of my attitude. He's the soundness of my mental state. He's the health of my countenance and my God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you've been feeling a little discouraged or depressed. Maybe you say, well, Brother Roger, I think this was for me, but, you know, when I leave here from the presence of the Lord and the singing and the Christian fellowship, then those feelings of discouragement and depression come back in. I'm sure they do. It's the way it works. And, you know, It'd be nice if we could all live on the mountaintop together, but the reality is we all got to go back out in the world and the valleys. And so what I'm giving you today is what you need to take with you. Amen. And you need to talk to your soul, and you need to tell your soul, why are you cast down, on my soul? Why are you disquieted with me? Hope thou in God. Put your hope in God. And you need to talk to your mind. You need to talk to your will. You need to talk to your emotions. You need to declare. You need to take authority over those thoughts. And you need to declare, my hope is in God. And you might say, well, that sounds kind of weird, Brother Roger. I've never had to order myself to act differently. Well, it's about time. Because I'm telling you, this is the path to victory. Amen. Hallelujah. We got a song? No, that's good.
Are my God.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are my King. You are my Master.
Oh, I'm going to hope in you, Lord.
My everything.
Doesn't matter what my emotions tell me, I'm going to hope in you. Doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what my finances are.
Why I sing.
I'm going to hope in God.
Hallelujah.
Father, this morning as we close, Lord, I pray for each person here, those who are listening by the internet. I pray, Lord, for those who are discouraged, those who are depressed, that, Lord, as they begin to apply this to their life, as they begin to write down their great expectations, and as they begin to get their eyes off themselves and begin to confess you over their lives, I pray, Lord, that you would break the yoke, that you would set them free, that you give them that peace that we are speaking of today. In Jesus' name, we shall yet praise you. Amen.